chiltus to everything, as we talked about yesterday. There are many areas that you could be mefaktik. And as you'll see when we go through the siman, like on so many shailas, we start throwing in tziruf after tziruf after, oh, it's true if you consistently hold of everything we say that this would be aser, but we could throw in this shita and that shita. And so, I think you see it more here than others, because to be machmir, for example, against not barnat on all things with no blios, plus combination of treating everything as charif and everything as chiltis and all that stuff. So, you know, you could definitely hear why. We quoted yesterday the Beis Meir, for example, who was Meikel, Fatsaino Ben Yomo B'diavad, and things like that. So, again, I don't know what Rav Stav was referring to. I would be very curious, and I would like to know. And, you know, okay, it is true that if you just, like, had the Gemara, the way we pask in these halachos, you'd be very surprised. But you're also right that, you know, we do that all the time. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that he's talking about. Maybe he would say the same thing about Zaya. All right, anyway. So, first of all, yesterday's shir, for those of you who missed it, I apologize. The recorder doesn't work. It didn't work. Hopefully it worked today. It looks like it's active. Okay. We're going to start with a very basic question, which is going to lead to a very common question. Let's say I went ahead and I cut an onion and meat in the same blender. So what's the halacha? Would that transform the blender into fleishiks? Now everything is cold. On the one hand, the onion is charif, but the onion was parif. So is there any way that the meat can somehow find its way into the blender? So the source for this, being Aser, is the Tur. In Or HaChaim Siman Taf Nun Aleph, he writes that it would become fleishiks. And the basis of the Tur is from a Gemara Psachim on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. We alluded to this yesterday. Taf Nun Aleph. The Gemara there says that we actually saw earlier the Shach referred to a Machlokas Rishonim, how to learn this din, but basically the Gemara over there says that Kalim that you used, generally speaking, you used for cold for Chametz, so you could use them on Pesach, but there's an exception, Beisor and Beis Charoses. Why? How will the Chimutzam Kasha? So what does that mean? So somehow or another, because chimutzam kasha, even though these kelim are only used bitzonein, there are blios in the kelim. And then there's a further machlokas rishon on whether you could do hagala on this kli or not. That's not relevant for us.
Would you like the blade of the blender or the entire?
Well, I guess it would be a shaila for both. But let's talk about the blade, because there you have dochak, right? You have dochak plus charif, but still there's no dochak plus charif. That only should affect the relationship between the onion and the blade, not the meat and the blade. Now,
cuts the meat first, then hits the onion.
Okay, so tell me how that works. Cuts the meat first, great. So, but it's still part of when to cut the meat. What hits the onion? The blade hits the onion.
And then it goes back and hits the meat.
Good. So it cuts the onion, it cuts the meat, then it cuts the onion. Maybe that, but what happened? Tell me. When it cut the meat, it remained parif, right?
Right.
So how is cutting the onion making it fleishiks?
If we say that
the onion's parif.
If we say that it's the second shayla rashi that takes the blios out.
Takes the blios out of where? But there's no blios in the knife.
If it takes the blios out of the meat.
The meat isn't charif.
The onion is going to the meat at the same time as the blade because it has onion on the blade. But it's just like shamduness of the onion.
I don't know. No shamduness of the onion, but still, how is that going to get into the blade? Anyway, but Lamaisa, the Torah is machmir. The Torah says that, let's say, quotes Rashi, B'shem Rashi, that if you have maducha shel eitz, and you go ahead and you use this maducha for breadcrumbs and shuman and pilpulin, so that is going to turn the maducha into something fleshy. Now, like we said, you can't be medayik that from the Gemara, for one thing, because maybe the Gemara is because of kavush or the like. Who says that besor is because of charif plus? But the way Rashi says it is it does. In other words, somehow or another, the dochak of the sakin and the charif can cause the blios in the breadcrumbs to enter the maducha.
Is there any acting on all of it at the same time?
Versus you could, but I would think in a blender, this is what Shmuel was saying, it's reasonable to say it is acting on both of them at the same time. Everything gets, you know, things are happening in such close quarters and such, you know, near each other. That's not a unlikely presumption. So this din is paskin by the Magen Avraham, Tafnan Aleph, Sif Katan Lamed Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah over there, Sifkat and Pevav, and the like. And we also saw quoted in Itaz back in Simon Sadi Zion, which somehow or another we did already, right? That's in his discussion of the Fleshik spice grinder. He presumed this. Now, it's not at all obvious, though, why this makes sense. Let's even take, we won't take the blender case, we'll go to the source, we'll take the tourist case. How does it work? Because let's even say that somehow or another, when you put under pressure the breadcrumbs and the garlic, right? So somehow or another, that causes the garlic to become fleishiks, or in this case, chametzdek, right? Why? Because it's subject to pressure. Let's assume that docha de sakina is lav dafka sakin. It's any pressure. So when you use a maducha, there's pressure. Plus, it's charif, right? Garlic is charif. So because there's pressure and charif interacting between the garlic and the chametz is now balua with, sorry, not the, the garlic is now balua with chametz. But that still shouldn't make the maducha chametz dick, because ein balua yotze b'la rotev. So how in the world is the maducha become chametzdik? Quite mysterious. Unless you were to say that the maducha, this whole process makes the breadcrumbs charif. In other words, the breadcrumbs themselves become charif through their being crushed together with the garlic, and therefore they are maflit their own tongue into the maducha. But otherwise, we're forced to say one of two conclusions, and you'll see why these two possibilities. Either, again, that metzias in this chiddush in metzias, that we assume that the garlic makes the breadcrumbs charif, and then memela they could go from the breadcrumbs into the maducha, or to say for some reason, maybe we'll talk about what this reason is in a couple minutes, but for some reason, we're not going to apply the principle of ein balua yotze b'la rotev in this case. So therefore, according to Rashi, the maducha would become chametzdik, and you could argue, though, like you said, correctly, it's not pashut, but you could argue that huadin, your blender, your food processor, will also become fleishiks when you cut together onion and meat. Now, that is the less common question, and the easier question. The more common question is the following. What about if I cut the onion with a fleishik knife and then put it into my power blender or food processor? This is a very common question. And doesn't make, nobody wants, everybody wants their food processor to be parif for the most part, right? They don't, they only have one and you want to be able to use it as parif. And people, for some reason, are always cutting onions with fleishig knives. I don't know why. So does their food processor become fleishigs? So, to address this question, we're going to get to a slightly different question, and then we'll go back to this question. Okay? And this is a shach in Siman Kuf Chav Beis. And I assume you all saw it already, because the Chavos Das over here, and the Evan Ozer, and the like, all cite it. But just in case you didn't, that's why we're here with the blackboard. Where's the shach? Sifkat and Beis. Kuf Chav Beis. We're going to talk about two cases. Okay? Case one is I cooked with a pot. So at 10 a.m. I cooked meat. 2 p.m. These are made up times, but you'll get the point. I cooked an onion. And then at 11 a.m. the next day, I cooked milk. Okay, that's case one. Case two is at 10 a.m. Okay, we could do this. 10 a.m. I cooked meat. On Monday. On Tuesday, at 2 p.m., in other words, more than 24 hours later, I cooked an onion. And then, the next day, on Wednesday, at 11 a.m., I cooked milk. Okay, two very simple cases. Now you see why we chose to have this rule. Okay. So, in this case, the shach is meiko. In this case, the iser, the heter, which is quoted by that shach, is meiko. Okay. So those, now you have our two cases. Now, one might have argued that, we'll start with the shach's case, that the shach is wrong here, we should be machmir. And in fact, if you look at the Dog Mirvava Tanyana on that shach, as well as the Nekudas HaKesef, this Nekudas HaKesef was not written by the shach, he didn't change his mind, but it was written by his son, who is astounded by his father's leniency, and they disagree with this shach. So shach meikal, we'll call it Nekudas HaKesef Machmir. Now why would we be Machmir? Well, let's think about it. When I go ahead and I cook this batzel at 2 p.m., so the bleos of meat have now been entirely rejuvenated, right? Remember we saw this, we were dying from the shach yesterday, that when you cut chiltis, and we assume onions have the same status as chiltis, so the gufa basar comes into it, that's why there's no not bar not, it's like tam rishon, and it's rejuvenated, ki'ilo, it was just cooked now, right? So now, these fleshed bleos are rejuvenated at 2 p.m., in which case when you cook milk at 11 a.m., which is more than 24 hours from when you cook the meat, but less than 24 hours from when you cook the onions, so it should asser the milk. That is the argument of the Machmirim, including the shach's own son. He turns his back on his father. Now, one would think that if you're going to be machmir on this shaila, you should be machmir on this shaila as well. Why? Because what am I going to say over here? I cook meat at 10 a.m. I cook, again, onions at 2 p.m. This rejuvenates the tam basar. Okay, and then when I cook the milk at 11 a.m., which is less than 24 hours from the milk, the onion, right? It should be, sorry, messed up. This is Tuesday at 12 a.m. This is, I was doing the shach case. In this case, where I cook the milk, the onions, more than 24 hours from the meat, but since we're machmir, that it's mashavi alei l'shvach, so this case should be equivalent to this case, right? Because what do we say? We say that whenever you have onions and meat, it does its magic. Now the tam basar in the onions is rejuvenated, and mamela, when I cook milk within 24 hours of the onions, the milk should become asar, right? That's what I would have said. I would have said, if you're going to be machmir over here, you have to be machmir over here. Agreed? And the Magen Avraham probably would agree to that. However, the Nekudas HaKasef says no. In this case, I can't disagree with my father, but not the Yisrael Hatter. That's going too far. So he's Megill like the Yisrael Hatter. And I say, I don't understand the difference. Because at this point, the onions have rejuvenated the meat fully. So we basically have three positions here. We could write Yisrael Hatter Mako, certainly the Shas can be Mako, but also Nekudas HaKasef Mako, and Magen Avraham is Machmir. We'll see what the Magen Avraham actually says in a minute, but presumably from what the Magen Avraham does say, it would come out L'chamer over here. Right? So we have three positions. Shas, Mekel, and both. Magen Avraham is Machmir in both. And we have the son of the Shah, as well as others, but we'll just stick to one opinion, who splits the difference. Okay. So we have to explain A, the Shah, and B, probably the most perplexing, is the Nekudas HaKasef. Magen Avraham is the easiest to understand. It's unusual, right? He's easy to understand. Yes?
Did you have Pshitos in Sefer Truma that said that cooking something in a pot rejuvenates the bleos, meaning you need in a binyomo meisleis, meaning if you disrupt the bleos from sitting in the walls of the kli for 24 hours, then you have to start the clock over again. Do you mean that it doesn't have to be a sale in this case, and you already have a chumra? You have extra,
I don't understand, what are you asking?
You're right. Extra kula in this case because you need to rely on the chumra of Dabar Charif rejuvenating the bleos in order to say Isser. In this case, you have another tzad to say that
here, if the Charif isn't rejuvenating the time of the Basar, then this will surely be Mutter.
No, you might have to restart the clock again from the time that you...
Why? Without Chatzos Isser, I could hear, because of Hanan.
You mean the Sheet of the Sefer Truma that it starts, you're saying, the starts all over again?
Why would it start all over again?
Because it needs Me'ez Le'ez within the walls of the Kli. That process can't be disrupted. But coming out. As soon as the Bleos enter into food...
So if you have Me'ez Le'ez, so then there should be Mutter. That explains the Shach.
No. You didn't have... Meaning, you need... In order for the Bleos to become Gumin, they have to sit in the walls of the Kli for 24 hours straight. If they exit, because they cook anything, it's something to be in the Karev.
Good.
Then you start the clock over again, which means that the Bleos...
But you're saying that this makes sense if you assume, against what we assume lahalacha, which is we assume lahalacha, that if I cook onions and then a month later I cook meat and a month later I cook onions, it's asr, and then you agree this psak would be wrong. But this psak is right based off of another shita that we don't pass in like, ordinarily. That's what you're saying.
Again, and that's saying as that you said it before, you allow it to be so mekhan when the only thing you have to be so mekhan is the dabar charif.
So probably, and we'll see in a second, but probably you're I don't know, probably you have to be correct. We have to figure out exactly how to articulate it, but the Nekudas HaKasef is relying on something along those lines. So now let's see what it is. So why, let's start with the Shach first of all. right, and try to address the questions of the iniquitous hakasef. So there are two reasons to be makel like the shach. And we might accept both of these leniencies. We might accept none of them, because you might say we don't paskin like the shach, or we might accept one of them, with all sorts of very important nafkaminas. I know this is very, very confusing, but it's important to get this. What? Exactly. So, what are the two reasons to accept the shach and respond to the question of the Dagmar Vava and the Nekudas Kesef and the like? So the first reason is in the Evan Hoser, which is in our Siman. It's probably on the bottom of your page of the Shulchan Aruch, or in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. It's on Sif Gimel.
Evan
Hoser. The Helping Stone. So, he says that we could be Mekel based off of Not Bar Not. So why would we say Not Bar Not? So we know that we don't say Not Bar Not from meat to onion, right? Or in this case, meat, it's really meat to pot, right? So the pot is Tam Rishon Shel Basar when I cook the onion, right? Now, is the onion Tam Rishon or Tam Sheni? What do you say? Tam Rishon, right? That's why that we know. We don't say Not Bar Not. So the onion is Tam Rishon. Okay, you cook the onion, Tam Rishon. Now, what about the pot again? Is the pot, the blios that never left the pot are definitely not going to asser up the milk because they're Einam B'nei Yoma. So the only way to possibly asser up the milk is to say the blios exit the pot, enter the onions, exit the onions, and go back into the pot. Now, who says that when the blios go from the onion to the pot is also Tam Rishon? Maybe in that case, we'll say the pot is Tam Sheni. We have no basis for the Chiddush. We only know that when blios go from Charif into Knife, they remain Tam Rishon, right? But is there any source that tells you that in this case, so the onion in this case is definitely Tam Rishon, but when the blios go from an onion back into a knife or a pot, that the pot isn't Tam Sheni? No, there is no such source. And you can't assume that it's the same thing. There's no reason to assume it, says the Evan Hoser. Because in this case, this magical rule that we know that when they go from knife into charif, it doesn't go down. Who says that that magical rule is also true when it goes from charif back into kli? Adarabba, I would think. That should be a regular transfer. When it goes from charif into the pot, that's a regular transfer, in which case the pot would be Tam Sheni Shel Heter. Ah, the pot is Tam Sheni Shel Heter, your milk's good. So, here we have the Evan Ha'ozer. Let's call it Bior Hashach. So we have the Evan Ozer is Matir Alpi Not Bar Not. Okay. Yes?
The regular thing we know is that from a knife to a Devar Charif, it doesn't go down?
Tznon Shechat Choy B'Shaken Shel Basar. So we know, at least if you hold in the second shot of Rashi, that the Saken Shel Basar is what? That Tznon is what? What do we know? That Tznon is not Tam Sheni, which is what it should be. But we're going to treat that Tznon as Tam Rishon. In other words, there's no diminution when it goes from knife into charif.
Okay.
Okay, but we don't know when it goes from charif into knife or into pot that there's no diminution. There's no reason why the normal rules of diminutions shouldn't apply.
Okay.
Good. So that's the Evan Ozer. That's the explanation of the Shach. Chavos Das, over here as well, here meaning Tzadivav, has a different kula, much more basic kula, which is our favorite rule of Ein Balua. Let's think about it. Okay? Again, for the milk to be usser, now this will obviously assume And that ben ha'ozer, the Chavos Das is talking about a case where there's no rotev. So let's say we're talking about a knife. But it could be in a pot also without rotev. So let's assume we're talking about a pot here without rotev. So when I cook this onion, so the pot makes the onion fleishiks, makes the, and even tam rishon, gevaldik. But there's no way for the blios, those fleishik blios, to go back into the pot, right? Because ein b'lo yotzei b'lo rotev. And if there's no way for the fleishik blios to go into the pot, so then the pot will become eino ben yomo at 10 a.m. the next day, right? Very simple. So if we go back to the case that I told you, the common shaila, the shaila would be, you went ahead and you cut an onion with a fleishig knife, and then you put it into your food processor. So we could be mako. We'll say first the chavos das. We did that last based on the chavos das, right? Yes, your onion becomes tam rishon shel basar. It's full of blios of basar, right? However, there's no way for those fleishig blios inside my onion to get into the blades of the food processor. Why? Ein b'lo yotzei b'lo rotev. Gevaldik. My food processor remains part of, I'm very happy. That's what the old chavos das. Now, why would anyone argue with this taka? So it's a very big mystery, actually. But as we said before, it could be based off of that Rashi from Besor, who also doesn't seem to be concerned with it, or who might not be. So, for now, we won't explain why. We'll just note maybe you have a basis for our ignoring the normal rule of Ein B'lo Rotev from the Rashi by Besor. Yes?
Clearly, part of the process, Avion says Ein B'lo, like cutting the butsa with the knife.
Cutting the butsa with the knife, there's no, because the knife, Ein B'lo Rotev, only applies to Ochel, not to Kli. Right? Right? You put a hot potato on a fleishig plate, or let's say a treif plate. Potato becomes treif. We don't say in b'lo yotzei b'lo rotev because it's a kli. Okay, good. Now, this is why we leave the tzadi bav till the end. Just to know everything else. Okay, good. Now, we also could be mako based off of the Aben Hozer, right? Why? At least because the food processor would, according to Aben Hozer, be tam sheni shalheter. Why? Because knife to onion, so onion is tam rishon, but onion to food processor, it's tam sheni. So tam sheni shel heter is basically parv. Now, you might say the heter is a little more limited for the Aben HaOzer, because we don't always try to rely on that lechatchila and the like, but essentially would still be parv. Maybe a little less parv, but still parv.
If I would put onions, that would put into soup, a dairy soup, let's say.
Right, later, so that's what I'm saying. That's why I agree. If you follow just the Aben HaOzer and not the Chavos Das, in terms of explaining the Shach, then you might want to kasher your food processor blade anyway, because let's say you wanted to use it for onions to put into milk. Exactly. Right? But even that's not so clear. Because you went ahead, yeah, but correct. Happens to be it's not particularly difficult to kosher a food processor blade. You wouldn't have to do the rest of your food processor, and just to do hagala on a blade of a food processor is pretty easy. So you might wish to be machmir, especially in light of, as we noted, the Kudas Kesef and the Magen Avraham would certainly be machmir. Okay. So that's the shach. That's the shach. I remember I was once driving, and somebody called me with a variation of this question. So of course I would never pick up while driving. But they also texted. They said, "Urgent question." So my wife was next to me, so she heard the question, and it was some question along these lines. I was trying to cheshbon the Evan HaOzer and the Chavos Das and the Shach and the Nekudas HaKesef and the Magen Avraham to figure out which opinion. It was like, you know, Erev Shabbos, and almost crashed. So so this Chavos Das, like, you know, I don't know if I own my life or he almost killed me. Fine. I might have almost crashed anyway. I mean, I think it was because somebody like swerved in front of me or something. Anyway, that's it. Ah, Chavos Das saved my life. Yes, yes. So, okay. Fine. Now, in terms of understanding the Magen Avraham, so again, we also understand the Magen Avraham very well. He rejects both of these chidushim, both the chidush of the Evan HaOzer and the Chavos Das. I'll tell you the context of the Magen Avraham. I guess I should. The context is like this: Umehai taima osim shelo kedin shel. It's a long thing. Ladoch kodem yant acher hagala mishem de not barnat arien de davar charefin moel not barnat vashar melchum lala high time osin shalokadin shalifamim chot chenzangvil besaken shalbasar. See, the Magen Avraham, he's like not happy to talk about Orchayim. He so sakas gvul once he starts talking about saken shalbasar. It's supposed to be Orchayim. Anyway, so people act shalokadin. They sometimes cut zangvil, the ginger, charef, in other words, with a fleishig knife, v'dachan oso b'maducha. So now, v'nimtza maducha, balua mibasar. V'achar kach dachan betocho b'samim, v'ochlem b'chala. Mamish this case, right? The blunder case. They go ahead. If we use our example, the Magen Avraham is machmir in this very case. You cut your onion with a fleishig knife, then you put it into the blender, and then use the blender to cut a different onion, which you put with milchix. And he's machmir. And in terms of the ben of the shach, who makes this chiluk, so how would we explain that? So you have to say something along the lines of that there's a difference when it's eino the butzel, when it's ben yomo, so mamish gets the meat taste itself. But once it's eino ben yomo, it might get the tam, but, you know, you could say it the way Rabbi said it, you could say it al snap bar not. It's not really clear because he doesn't explain which additional kula he's throwing in this case. But it wouldn't be like the guf hadavar after it's in ben yomo and it's mechayel l'shvach to make it aser. Okay, good. So here are the different opinions.
So
it's not clear because he doesn't tell you. But I would suppose one way to understand it is that when we go from here to here, we're not going to treat this as a tam nishon shel basar when it's eino ben yomo and it has to be mechali of the blios.
Because eino ben yomo is worse than
something along those lines, right? In other words,
mechali of the shach doesn't get it back. To
doesn't get it back to mamish what it was.
We could get it back to being mamish what it was if it's ben yomo.
Right. Or something like that. Again, he doesn't explain. You'll have to say one of those chilukim.
And you can't, can you say it within a Chavos Das? Or not really?
You don't need to. Chavos Das, this is mutter. You don't need
to. No, I'm saying so. Is there?
Chavos Das is nothing to talk about. It's very simple. It doesn't, the blios, right, don't get further. Okay, good. So how do we paskin? So, if you look, there's a great sefer on our simon called Davar Charif. It's a really good sefer. And he has all sorts of fabulous psakim from the Gedolim in it. So he basically quotes a number of poskim that are meka like the Chavos Das. He writes still, L'chatchila, it's kedai to be magilet. But if you didn't, Mikra Adin were Makel. And if there's another sniff Lahakel, as we'll see there oftentimes are, because things aren't clearly Charef, so then for sure you could be Makel. Fine. Okay.
Maybe possibly we'll look when the show comes up.
I think it's Mutter Mikra Adin. I basically follow what the Charef, Davar Charef says, but if you want to be machmir, it's kedai to just do hagala on the blade of your food processor, which is, as I said, very easy. Okay. Now, the next question is, when you do cut a Davar Charef with your knife, how far in does it go? Right, we know that it goes in somewhat. That's the chiddush of tznon shechatcha b'sakim shel basar asal ochlum kutach. How far does the basar go into the tznon? So the Rush says klipa. We don't have anything more than klipa. Havdalah losif. This whole thing of blios b'tzonein anyway, such a chiddush, goes in a klipa. The Ravid and the Ra'ah say netila, and the Rashba himself thinks it's mispashet b'kulo. So how do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, says Netila. The Rama writes, L'chatchila you should be choshish for the Rashba, that it's kulo aser. But b'diavad, it's mutter b'netila. Now there's, b'diavad, he's willing to follow the view, the middle view of Netila, like the Mechaber. Now here you have an interesting question, which is, what is b'diavad? Again, as we've seen many times throughout our limud in Yoredeya, b'di'eved is not defined the same way in every place. So there's a very interesting shach, Sifka Nyud, which is, b'di'eved, he says, means that you should treat it, let's say we're talking about Isser for the moment, which is b'di'eved. In other words, not a fleishig knife, but I cut a large onion with a treif knife, right? So do I have to throw out a netila or throw out the entire onion? So if you would have asked me, I would have said that since the Rama says b'di'avad it's mutter, that means I only have to throw out a netila, right? So I should cut off a netila from this onion, and then I could eat the rest of the onion. Shach there says no, throw out the whole onion, or give it to a guy, but that is not yet b'di'avad. When the Rama says it's mutter b'di'avad for netila, that means you cooked it already. I took this onion and then I threw it into my soup. So then I'd only need shishim keneged the netila b'di'aved and not shishim keneged kulo. However, if you look at the side on Rabbi Akiva Eger, in the name of the Minchas Yaakov, no, b'di'aved means what we always hit means, if it's already done after the fact. If I already cut the onion with a treif knife, even if I didn't yet cook it, I could cut off the netila and eat the rest. And the Chachmas Adam is Makel on that Shaila as well. Lamais against, he says, someone who's Makel lo hifsit against the Shach. Okay. This question also comes up, as we mentioned yesterday, so we won't go through it again in the Ramah, about buying vegetables from Gaia and how far in you have to be worried that they go. Now, another very fascinating question that comes up with Davar Charef that you might not have noticed in the Shulchan Aruch, but is mamish maisim b'chol yom, is what is the status of the cutting board? From the Shulchan Aruch, we talk about the status of the knife and its interaction with the onion, but no mention is made of the cutting board. Exactly. So if we want to, one basis to say that it might be a problem is to start looking at the sugya of maducha. Exactly correct. So, the Chachmas Adam...
What's the problem with the cutting board?
Well, how is it affected by this? And we'll give a couple of examples. But how is the cutting board affected? So you could have a couple of situations. One possibility is if you cut, let's say, pariv knife on a fleisha cutting board, right? Usually the question comes up one of two ways. One of three ways, I suppose. Pariv knife, fleisha cutting board. Fleisha knife, pariv cutting board. or the worst case scenario, milchik, cutting board, fleishig, knife, or the reverse, right? Those are the three scenarios that you could have. So, what's the halacha? So, the chachmas adam, nun vav, base, is machmir. And he writes that if you, now, again, note which case he's talking about, if you cut an onion on a fleishig cutting board, so then we will assume the onion becomes fleishig. Well, no, then it's pashut, right? There's no chiddush that if it's a fleishig knife, the onion becomes fleishig. So again, you used a parv knife, fleishig cutting board, we say that the onion becomes fleishig. Right? Now that's a chiddush, right? That case is not explicit in the Shulchan Aruch or in the Gemara. So how does he know that? So you pointed out that the logic might be very simple, which is that just like we find by Maducha, so too here. Now, what do you mean? Maducha, I understand, there's pressure coming in both directions onto the thing being crushed, right? From the mortar and the pestle. Okay, from the mortar and the pestle, they're both putting pressure on that, let's imagine, that pepper ball in between. So, over here, the cutting board isn't putting pressure on. How does the cutting board make the onion fleishig, right? How is it? So, the answer, presumably, is exactly what you're saying, which is, no, it's not true. The way I would imagine it is, the moment before my onion penetrates and goes all the way through and hits the cutting board. So at that last moment, so in the area below the blade of the knife, there's downward pressure from the knife and upward pressure, counter pressure from the cutting board. And that's enough, at least at that last moment, to make the onion fleishig, meaning to say the blios from the cutting board through charif plus dochak are niflat from the cutting board and nivla into the onion.
Sure should be you.
Maybe.
You don't have to say the last moment. You can't cut it without any surface press to press again. So it is, I don't know how...
So that's a big chiddush to write. Right. The question is, it's not very much pressure until... You know, I mean, the fact that I wouldn't have thought that there's much pressure at all, but yeah, it might depend on how sharp the thing is, a knife is. The more dull the knife is, the higher the pressure is going to be, and it might depend on how hard the onion you're cutting is. And, you know, there could be a lot of factors. But you're correct that, you know, if you go ahead, just by way of example, let's say you cut an apple, which is probably harder than an onion, but let's say it's around the same as an onion. Maybe it's softer, maybe it's harder, depends on the hand, right? On your hand. You won't, you know, don't do this because you might cut your hand, but you won't feel like huge, you know, so much pressure. But anyway, that's what the Chachmas Adam says. That's what the...
Where is that, sir?
It's in... Oh, it's good. You got it faster than me. Okay, that's the Chachmas Adam. Now...
Seems like it has to do with up or down pressure. It just has to do with, you're saying there's less resistance when you cut
with
a sharp knife than when you...
Yeah, but we need there to be pressure from the cutting board onto the onion if we're going to say the bleos from the cutting board go into the onion.
Yeah, I'm saying that's not the distinction. Each case you're pushing down and something is stationary at the bottom.
Right. Okay. So, right, but we need, again, that there's dochak from the knife into the food, we understand. But the chiddush of the Chachmas Adam is that there's also dochka from the cutting board into the food, which would cause transfers of bleos from the cutting board into the food. I can understand that. I'm just... And again, you somewhat see a paradigm for this from Maducha, like you said, but Maducha is a little more obvious, because there all of the crushing is coming from that pressure. Right? Here, that isn't so obvious, but I could hear. Now, So that's okay. So I understand if I cut with a fleishig cutting board, a par of onion, the onion will become fleishigs. Or if it was a milchik knife and a fleishig cutting board, then the onion would have blios of basar and chalav in it. Right? It would be asar. Fine. That I understand as well. But what about the other case? What about a case where the knife is fleishigs and the cutting board is pariv? Would we say that the knife can make the cutting board pariv? The cutting board fleishigs, right? Again, this is just as likely as the other question, right? Does the cutting board become fleishig when I accidentally use my fleishig knife to cut on my pariv cutting board? So there are some poskim that are machmir. They say just like the Chachmas Adam is machmir in one case, so too you have to be machmir in the other case. Maishna, right? In both cases you have dochka de sakina and charev. However, if you learn like the Chavos Das, then exactly. So the Chavos Das l'choira will say, no, the cutting board should remain pariv. Why? Because ein balua yotze from the ochel below rotev. So even though the knife makes the onion fleishiks, but the onion can't make the cutting board fleishiks because there's no rotev, and likewise the knife can't go directly into the cutting board to make that, right?
So if you're not mugging a problem, you reject this for...
So the machmirim hold, exactly. I assume. I didn't see anyone make this analysis, but I assume it's really going to come down to that question. The Machmirim must be assuming, it seems to me, like the Magen Avraham, and again, maybe there's a basis for that in that Rashi, that for some reason we're not going to apply the rules of Ein Below Rotev here, and therefore the cutting board can become fleishig from the fleishig knife, or for that matter, the fleishig cutting board not only will affect the onion, but will affect the knife. So if you follow that view, then comes out a lot of chumras. The other case, it's not going to come out so many chumras, the middle case. The Rav Yashiv is quoted by the Davar Charif. If you want to look it up, it's Perek Aleph Ha'aron Nun Zayin. It's being Mekel B'diaved with respect to even Isser. Or with respect to an onion, if you already threw it in. If you didn't throw it in, you cut your, you know, then may as well have the onion with the fleishiks or milchiks, whatever it wanted became. But for Isser, really he thinks it's mutter. Just, if it's very easy to be mekel, you should be mekel.
Does that mean that your fleishik cutting board means parim, or you should...
Yeah, I think he's willing to be mekel on all that. The only thing, you know, kavod to the mutter, I think, take a look. My impression was, out of kavod for the... not the Magen Avraham, maybe the Chacham Asadam, you know, at least, you know, don't put this fleishig onion into a milchik soup. But more than that, he doesn't say you need to go. But yeah, there are many poskim that are machmir. Okay.
What about that Pesach? Is it true also that you can make it by the
Beit Sohar? No. So we'll talk about that when we do. Beisor might be worse for a number of additional factors we didn't get into today.
I figure out your status in your cutting board if the mice were being meek, so
it's parv. Stay parv.
Will really always be parv unless you're cutting with the...
Oh, we mean will you ever truly have a fleishig cutting board? L'chatchila you'll have a fleishig cutting board because you put hot meat on your cutting board. Which for the marshal and the like. Yeah, but you're correct. You are correct that probably, and this could be another sniff lahakel, that's a very good point, which is that onion cutting boards that we call our fleishig cutting boards are arguably not really fleishigs.
The best to have two?
Yeah, you should have two cutting boards. Sure. Well, three, but if you need a milk, I don't think... You know, milchik doesn't come up that much, that you have a hot milchik thing that needs to be cut on a cutting board. But if you did. So, but yes. Okay. Another shaila I'd wanted to talk to you about, but there's no way today. this time, but is the question of false teeth. Now, false teeth.
Rishnal's articles,
Ayin Shem. So, false teeth, the smaller issue that people worry more about is hot. Hot, you don't have to worry as much, if you think about it, because it's not usually yatzo lettuce bow and the like, you know. And but even more, it's cliché-y usually. It's pretty rare. Well, it could happen. No, but you don't usually drink out of the pot. Right? Or you drink out of a mug. You
don't
no, I'll tell you when it could happen. It could happen with a microwave. You heat up, if you treat microwave as a kli rishon, you put your cup of coffee in the microwave. It got cold, right? Cool down. Ah, you need your hot coffee with milk. So it could happen, but odds are, so it's a little less of a shayla. But it's a little more of a shayla with charif, because assuming that you do eat charif foods, and l'chora there's dochak, right? If you don't believe there's dochak, put your finger in the kid in a kid's you know, a kid's mouth. No, the kids, like when they're teething, they pull on fingers, and you'll see the vomish can hurt. So, right, you know, you succeed in cutting some pretty tough stuff. The dochka of your teeth is definitely not less than a mortar and pestle or a knife or the like, right? You mamish chew up stuff. So the truth is it's not that bad, because usually charif stuff are parif. But, you know, do you have charif meat? Could have charif meat? Nah, you know, it depends. Anyway, my grandmother was machmir. She taka had two sets of false teeth for milchaks and flechers. Ah, so that's taka shayla. So the answer, though, might be that, I don't know, somehow or another, either they weren't gozer, if we think these are derabanan for real teeth, for false teeth, and, or we know, obviously Hashem, you know, made the bria that teeth aren't bolea. But false teeth are made out of, usually, porcelain. That's like the worst of the worst when it comes to blios. So Taka Ravadi has a long tshuva about this, if you're interested. And he comes out Lahakel, it's Chela Gimel, and Or Chaim, Simon Chav Dalet. He comes out Lahakel, Chav Dalet, because he says that the scientists told us that the material that false teeth are made out of aren't bolea. Which is like a paladic, I think, because if you only hold to that, then you may as well throw out, get one set of dishes, and one set of pots, and one set of silverware, right? Okay, yeah, I understand it's a shasat chak. Anyway, but there's what to say on this topic. There are other tzadim lahakel. I know of a certain person, they told me, talking about another type of orthodontia, where they asked their Rav what to do for it for Pesach, and the Rav said you should kosher it, and they ruined it. And their orthodontist was very upset at that. So anyway, but I am Rav Schnell's article, or Rav Avadia, or other poskim that discussed this. Lamaisa, the Velt is Mako, and they have what to rely on. But it's an interesting thing to think about, but we don't have time. Okay. So the next thing that comes up in Sif Aleph, is how when you mess something up, so you need to be mevatel it, so how much do you need to be mevatel? Keneged what? So the Rama writes, let's say you cut a onion dak with a fleishig or a milchik knife, so then you only need shishim keneged the blade of the knife, or even the blade of the knife, the part of the blade of the knife that came in contact with the onion. So even though, let's say, my onion is a volume of 4 kazesim, and I cut up the onion into many small pieces, but if the blade of my knife is only a volume of 1 kazayis, so then I'd only need shishim kazesim to be mevatel it. But if it was a iser knife, so then the Rama says, and then we're talking about b'diavad, right? We saw, anyway, l'chatchila, we're choshev for the Rashba, that you always ask the entire onion. But b'diavad, we follow the opinion that it's netila. So therefore, for fleishiks and milchiks, a shishin connected to netila is enough. But for a treif, if it's a treif knife, then you need shishim keneged the kol habatzel. Right? Kol habatzel. Because of Hanan. Right? The onion is four times the size of the knife in our example. Right? Good? So that makes a lot of sense. And the Mechaber would be Mekel, because he doesn't hold of Hanan by Shari Surin. That's the Psak of the Rama and the Mechaber. Now, there are a number of objections that the Nosei Kalim point out to this Psak. So, first of all, let's talk about the Levush. Levush makes the following taina, which is that we should treat this as let's say you didn't cut it up doc, you just made one slice through the middle of the onion, so then b'di'aved you would only need shishim keneged that netila, right? Now, the question is, says the Levush, we should go ahead and say Isser Davuk. Why? Because the outer netil of this onion has been chananified. And now when you cook it, we know that when you have a chaticha, half comprised of Isser, half of Heter, like a piece of meat that has chalav attached to it, so we say that you need shishim, not just keneged the chalav, but shishim keneged the chaticha as well. Two reasons, either because that having left the pot, or that the distribution is uneven initially, and the like. So why don't we say the same thing over here? So Taka the Levush does say the same thing over here. But the Shach is Mekel, and basically what comes out is that we're Mitztaref Kulos over here. We're not going to say Hanan to be mitzdaref the chumra of Hanan by Shari Surin plus Hanan b'chatzi chaticha. Now this is just very interesting because, you know, when we started the year, almost, I don't know, 10 months ago, 11 months ago, we saw that Taisus in the beginning of the year by Hanan, and the opinion that we don't say Hanan with a chatzi chaticha. Yes, the Reim. And like we said, okay, that's very nice, and we more or less forgot about that opinion until the very end of the year, where all of a sudden, we bring him back. Fascinating. Okay? Fine. Like I said, this simon is a simon of being mitzdarif, all sorts of shitos that we might not ordinarily accept. That's one fascinating point here. Now, another issue that the Prima Gadim asks on the Ramah is the opposite direction. He thinks you could be totally Mako, even by Shari Surin. You never have to be Choshish more than Keneged the Lahav. Why? It also brings us back to the beginning of the year, because remember, according to the Ran, Hanan by Shari Surin is modeled after, or Gzeira Atu Basar B'chalav. And therefore, since this is Eino Derech Bishol, so therefore we shouldn't hold of Hanan at all. There should be no Hanan here. Why does the Shach fundamentally agrees that we would say Hanan here? We just don't say Hanan plus Davuk. And Taka, he quotes that the Pri Chadash is Mekel on that Lamaisa, because of this Cheshbon. We shouldn't say Hanan. There should be no difference over here between the Mechaber and the Rama. We shouldn't say Hanan. The Prima Gadim says, well, we'll still be Machmir because it's true, maybe initially, that it's not Derech Bishol, so we shouldn't say Hanan, but you might subsequently cook it, and then it could become Derech Bishol. The Chachmas Adam, though, is Mekel, like the Pri Chadash. So, that is the other, the objection. Okay. In terms of the knife, we talked about Efshel Lesoch, Don Amaram Lublin already, so we don't have to get into that. All right, I guess we're out of time. So, we're going to finish this tomorrow by hook or by crook.
Because Sifal for the simon.
The simon. And all of Hochos Bas B'chalav. And no matter what. So, because this is really dragging on much too long. And that means the following. So, tomorrow we finish Bas B'chalav. Tomorrow is Tuesday. The Bechin is on Wednesday. And Thursday is going to be the first cheer in the next limud. Now, I assume this isn't going to be too hard for you, because you've already chazered. But if it is too hard for you, then my recommendation is you push off chazara until after we finish hachshir kelim and tefilas kelim, and do chazar nebuchina in the summer. But don't ruin your hachshir kelim, tefilas kelim, limud by trying to do chazar at the same time, because then you will be left with nothing.
Correct.
Sorry? Exactly. Kereach mikan mikan. That is my recommendation. You could do, of course, whatever you want. I will be leaving, I'm not sure yet exactly, somewhat early. I'm not going to stay till the very end of June. I have some, so there'll be time. And I will send out Mar Makomos shortly on terms of the Hechsher Kelim Tefilas Kelim, but I recommend, if you haven't already chazered for the Basar B'Chalav, then pushing that off to later. I know that's inconvenient, but I think in lieu of the circumstances, that's the best option. And also, to make it a little easier, I'll send you some chazar questions on Basar B'Chalav, some of which might be on the Bechina, but the like. The Bechina on Basar B'Chalav will be open book, but will, because it's a lot of material, the Mechina on Hechsher Kelim Tefilas Kelim will be closed book. And since it's a short limud, I have very high expectations about your level of retention. Mm-hmm. So, that being the case...
Is there any expectations of telling them about our level of retention? I ask because I just noticed that I have three Mechinas here. But I never
give them. That is a big problem. What? Yes, you should. You should. Yes, give them in. I better not have this recorded. All right, Bronstein might have my head.